How you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 14th of September with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 270. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. That sounds trite, actually. I think I'm going to need to change that to healthy for now, because I know that I'm not feeling well. I'm healthy. I think, well, in this madness, I think I am healthy. But, well, I would draw a distinction. Certainly not feeling well about things. Woke up very stressed, I think, this morning. Stiff neck, sore eyes from being on this laptop all weekend. Really stiff neck, and that's why I think it might be stress. So I put together a cocktail of Nurofen and Voltarol for the neck, and it's still not quite gone away. I'm just at it like a dog right now. I mean, as in working like a dog, not at it like a dog in terms of a dog humping your leg. You go into a pandemic single, you're staying single until vaccine 4.0 has been rolled out. There's no humping going on, not at this end anyway, not for a long time. Things are just full on now. And I'm just trying to be relaxed about today's show. The voice, I don't know what's going on with the voice, might be the tweaking of the medication the last week has affected the throat. It's happened before, so bear with me. I've already lost my thread here. As I was saying, I'm just going to try and be relaxed about this show today, despite not sounding very relaxed. I'm not going to worry about too many pauses or mistakes. There are bigger issues than trying to edit out any traffic today. I did delay the start of the show while I heard a lorry in the background about 10 seconds before it actually whizzed past this building. So let's just crack on with the show. So a tired weekend, just at this machine until 1 a.m. on Sunday morning, trying to set up social media accounts for the new show. It is so hard to succeed in life if you've not got those networks. I run past toddlers in the park, holding on to their middle-class mum's hands. A lot of these kids seem to be called Freddie, by the way, something I've noticed over the summer. And as I take care to socially distance from these kids on my run, I often remark to myself, that is a future influencer. Probably already has a LinkedIn toddler account with 500-plus connections. They've already got buggies larger than many of the flats I've lived in. It just makes me wonder, how on earth did the apostles, 2,000 years away from social media coming in, how did the apostles manage to get a new religion off the ground without social media? Okay, you've got word of mouth, I suppose, something that even seems to elude my work. I have the advantage, though, of living in the digital age. This is where I am, and I just cannot build this show up for toffee. Going to unzip now after 6 hours of sitting at this desk and drinking so much coffee, a lot of decaf, by the way, because I do recognize the coffee is completely out of hand as a habit. And it's early afternoon now. Normally on a Monday, I tend to record between 1,000 hours and 1,100 hours. It's gone 1,338 hours now. Just had so much on this morning, so I'm going to be getting out late for today's run. I've had my lunch first. Now I'm recording this and I've got to edit it, upload it, get it out everywhere. And I think, you know, the good thing is that I think when I feel like this, that the run is a bit more enjoyable, because I've noticed that the last few weeks. If I'm particularly bad on a given day, the run does help. It becomes less of an issue. When I'm doing okay and I've got to try and psych myself up for the run, it does become a bit hard. At Strava, still playing up, if you're a patron and you heard Thursday's show, the run was covered in the addendum. It was a really good run. It was over 45 minutes. I tweaked the route a bit. The first two laps were shorter. I took more scenic routes. And then for the third lap, I pushed myself and did the complete lap. And even though the first two laps had been easier, the climb on the new route, the scenic route, is steeper, but it's shorter. So it doesn't go on for as long. And I found that helpful. And then I felt okay to do a third lap, but a full lap this time. But as soon as I started on the usual uphill climb, which is at the start of my normal route, right away, particularly with the grass, being a bit long. I just felt the energy drain from my legs, but I still did well. I did 45, 46 minutes. I'm thinking that was around 6 to 7K, knowing my distances, knowing what I'm capable of at the minute. And Strava showed me just 7 minutes, and I can't even get a Strava app working right now. And of course, I say to myself, well, what does it matter? I've done the run, rather. I've gone out there, I've done it. That's the important thing. But just the OCDs in me, and the fact that, look, this seems to work for everyone else. Why isn't it working for me? And apparently, my cousin had called me back because he said that he'd had 10 missed calls from me, and they coincided with the run. So I'm assuming something happened with the phone as I slipped it into the reversed interior shorts with their sealable pocket. I just wish I had the right running gear. So that run anyway was covered in greater detail on Thursday's show. Yeah, this morning. Now I'll come to that shortly. Contractors are now here, scaffolders. So in the coming months, I'm probably going to be needing to exit for a run with a face mask because of these guys. And at some point, they're going to be here for a few months. At some point, they're going to be in the internal, the communal hallways. Just to go out and put the bins, I'll need to wear a mask. I've got the bins to put out today when I return from the park. And I realized a couple of weeks ago that I was putting them out wrong, even though I've been doing it for a long time. I only realized a couple of weeks ago. And that lack of common sense again, clearly evident. I was just taking up too much space on the pavement with the way I was putting the bins out. And then a couple of weeks ago, I saw that someone else had put them out differently, turned to the side. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. And the reason maybe that I hadn't seen this earlier is because normally it's yours truly putting the bins out. This leaving the bins out there turned to their side, although it is better, it does involve more handling, which right now in a pandemic isn't ideal. Now I've got to turn the bins sideways, so that's an extra bit of handling, another 1 or 2 seconds. And also taking them down the big steps outside the building. People fill them up to the top, which is okay if you're not actually bothering to put the bins out yourself. Try and have some empathy with the person that normally pulls those bins out, puts them on the main road, because some of them are really heavy. On the running, I think I might need to run a bit longer again, try for that third lap, which I haven't done since May, because primarily the motivation for that is that with the scaffolders here now, and the scaffolding is, they're not on my side of the building, basically. This building is actually two buildings that share the same address now. Apparently, 100 years ago or whenever it was, this was all one big building. And then it got split not only into flats, but into two separate houses. And they share the same address. It's really confusing, particularly confusing when you've got to sort out, things like council tax, etc. And I don't like having to put the other door number because it's not my door number as far as I'm concerned, but you have to because otherwise it's not recognised online. So at the moment they've done the front of the building, but belonging to the people that live in the other building. And I don't know, I'm assuming that at some point tomorrow they're going to start here. So at the moment the blinds are down. You will hear banging if these guys come back. Maybe they've gone to the pub for lunch. I don't know. I'm assuming pubs are still open. And yeah, I'm thinking I might need to run a bit longer again if I'm going out while the scaffolders are here. Today, I'm not sure because I'll be going out late, so maybe they'll have knocked off by then. But with the scaffolders here for the next few months, me going out for a run, it might note what time I've left, and they might be thinking when I come back, that skinny guy with the OCDs, he's back from his run already. So they might have an idea, look, he's only running for half an hour, he's only running for 20 minutes. So I've got to try and maintain that 45 minutes and see maybe if I can build on it. Quick Howard Hughes shout outs to Monica in California for all her time in fixing and resizing my artwork. Always appreciated, even though she will often tell me I'm often grumpy. And also Claire, cousin Claire, for fielding all my WhatsApp virus inquiries. Told me the other day that I should be okay with the contractors working in the flat. And I like to hear the truth, but that morning I thought, Cousin Claire, don't tell me that. Tell me what I want to hear today. Though this morning's press conference from Downing Street, the Sage press conference, suggests that right now with this thing changing all the time that my caution might be warranted. I'm wondering whether it will also affect my bubble with my aunt and uncle because it's saying no unnecessary household mixing. Now, well, I've got the bubble. Are my visits to my aunt and uncles right now necessary? I'm not sure they always are. I don't know. It's hard to work out what you're meant to do right now. I think the thing that I took away from this morning's press conference, which is another reason for this show coming out late, because I'm trying to make a decision on whether I'm going to allow the contractors to work in the flat in a couple of weeks. The thing that I took away from the press conference today was they're talking about break unnecessary links between households, which, I'm fine with all of that if it's the right thing to do. And they're saying that that will mean cutting contacts at work and in social environments. That certainly doesn't affect me, though. I was meant to be seeing a space daddy this week, so I'm not sure whether that will go through now. Quick breakfast update: toast, toast, crackers, toast. That's from Friday to this morning. And a topped and tailed. Actually, no, it's more than topped and tailed, isn't it? It's toast, toast, crackers, toast. Yeah, three. Lots of toast, just one appearance for crackers on Sunday. And it's simply because I need to finish the loaf because I brought in another little loaf and I'm struggling for space in the fridge. You'd think, and I'm not a hoarder, I'm not a stockpiler, but if you looked at the fridge, you'd think, wow, this guy's really expecting the world to end. I'm not a big eater. And yet the fridge is full. And I think it's full because my OCDs, in as far as milk goes, have just rocketed in recent months since I discovered that it's worth buying 4 pints of milk rather than 2 pints of milk. And then I saw the 6 pints of milk. So I tend to get 10 pints of milk on a Friday. And if I haven't finished any milk before that, I think I'm at 14 pints of milk at the moment. I don't know how I just used to manage on a pint of milk. And I think part of the reason that this has started is because I didn't like the milk from across the road, the local shop. But the milk has got out of hand, and those 6 pint bottles definitely take up a lot of space in the fridge because they have to be laid down flat. I'm not sure what is going on with the voice today. The disappointing thing about breaking out the new loaf this morning, which was bought on Friday, is that I put a 6 pack of Golden Delicious apples, that dominant apple of the 70s and 80s, which then had that fall from grace, a bit like Liverpool. The Golden Delicious is the Liverpool of the apples world, and hopefully, like Liverpool, it is making its own comeback now in the apples world, reeling in whatever the Manchester United equivalent is in the apples world, or Man City. Looks like United are finished for now, thankfully. The apples had squashed the loaf, and because the loaf had been in that same position in the fridge for 3 days, I was not able to knock it back into shape. And I'm really dismayed by that because essentially it's downsized after 3 days. It's almost as if I've bought it from Poundland. And every time you buy something from Poundland, I don't buy chocolate, but people who do buy chocolate from there, you'll see stories online talking about chocolate shrinkage. And it feels like the same thing has happened to my bread here. It's just, to be having toast with smaller slices of bread than I'm used to, it didn't do much to lift my spirits. So, moving on the scaffolding, the works look ongoing until January. At least they sent through a PDF of all the works this morning, and regardless of whether I agree to the work within the flat or not on the windows, they're going to be here until early January, and the timing is just atrocious. I've got the blinds down at the moment. I've opened them in the kitchen after having them closed up until about 13:30 hours because I was hearing the scaffolding going up, and then I'm thinking, okay, is it at the front of the flat or not? And it's to the side, as I said, it's the other building. But right now it is like the film The Others in here, it's a bit dim, and I think it's probably going to have to be like this for a while. And of course, that might mean that I've got to switch on the odd light, though the lights in here aren't great. There's no main light, no ceiling light here. And I do think that has played a part in the deterioration of my eyesight over the last couple of years. So the scaffolding, that is here until, well, the scaffolding I think goes down at some point in November. But the works are going on until January. And, I've been here a while now, and all this stuff was meant to be done when I moved in. When I moved in, there was all this talk going on about this stuff being done. Still hasn't been done. This is the second attempt at fixing the roof. They still haven't told myself and the other neighbor on the top floor what they're doing with the roof. Maybe we won't know that until the roofers are up there. But I don't have any confidence that they will finally resolve this. And yeah, the windows, I need the windows just at the very least. Forget about being warmer for the winter, but just for this work, the windows would be a godsend, despite the massive disruption they'd cause. And this morning, I mean, I was up really early. I was up late and I was up really early. So I've been, at this desk now since 07:30 hours, just working away, eye strain. And the door buzzer went at 08:45 hours, and it was the site manager who was downstairs, and he wanted to speak to me because, we've had this correspondence the last couple of weeks. This is the guy who lost his mum to COVID, and I thought, oh Christ, because I don't want him coming up here. So I had to go downstairs, got dressed into my outdoor clothes, put my face mask on, and then lowered it as I got to the front door because I could see through the glass that his face mask was also lowered under his chin. And I probably think I'm really paranoid. I didn't want to come across as paranoid as he probably thought I was. And when I saw him, I mean, a very affable guy, strikes me as a genuine guy, but he instigated an elbow greeting, my first ever elbow greeting, and I did have a problem with it. I still had my still often duplicated light summer hoodie on. He had his bare elbow to instigate the elbow greeting, and I'm sure that he'd probably done this already with a few people by now. And I think football is to blame for this. It just struck me as a really stupid thing to do. We are not footballers. We're not professional sports people. Footballers get tested all the time. They're in the entertainment industry. We don't. The nearest testing centre for me, God knows where that is, probably about 3 days away from me as the crow flies, if the stories are to be believed. So we didn't need to do the greeting. I didn't want to encroach on the social distancing. The thing that's become clear in the last couple of days, well, I mean, this is the thing that they're saying now, is that social distancing, the whole space thing, is the most important thing. Well, then they should be discouraging any form of greetings, because when you're doing that greeting, you're getting in close. If any of you, by the way, have been watching the return of the Premier League, and it's incredible to realise just how important the fans are, because I think, I mean, I can have the football on since it returned, and I'm just barely paying any attention. It's just, I find it really dull, really weird. But this was something I noted after the Leicester game last week, and they were playing at West Brom. And Jamie Vardy gave an interview after the game, and he was rubbing his eyes. Now, they're not supposed to be shaking hands after games. Some do go for the palm-to-palm clinch and shoulder leaning, but mostly it's fist bumps and a few elbow-to-elbows. And even with the fist bumps, you get people, and I've done it, where you might be rubbing your eyes and your knuckle is near your eyeball. I just think it's all really dangerous. And Jamie Vardy is giving this interview, and he was rubbing his eyes after this assortment of greetings, which you saw because he'd got two goals in the game. So after the game, the camera was tracking him for a few moments. And also, when football returned in July, they said that spitting would be tackled. And I can't see that it has. And at the same time, as I say, when you're expending that much energy, it isn't a nice habit that you can't really justify it, but you can understand it because of what you're putting your body through. And there is plenty of spitting going on in football still. Now, unless you're in danger of swallowing a wasp, and I know that these guys are clocking up 10 to 20K running stats per game, and I'm assuming they're using something better than Strava to time those stats, whatever the coaching staff are using. And the inclination is going to be to spit, but unless you're on the brink of swallowing a bee or a wasp that's flown into your mouth, I don't think the spitting can be justified during a pandemic. Just feeling niggled by a lot of things today. There was an issue with library membership for one of the boroughs that I'm in that I had to sort out today. Couldn't get through to them on the phone. The call would cut out whenever I pressed the option I needed to press. That's been sorted now. And then, of course, there are the bigger things, the windows. Now, I would benefit hugely from 5 days of hell to have double glazing here. There are things I can't do because of these windows, apart from the fact that it is a very cold flat, but I can't remember what flat I've lived in that hasn't been cold. I mean, I remember a flat some years ago on a New Year's Eve being alone in that flat. I'd never worked out the heating in that flat. I was lodging and I couldn't turn the heating on, and I was uncomfortably cold that night. This show had already launched by then. Going beyond the fact that I would be looking at another cold winter, there are things I still need to fix. I need to fix the heater nozzle that broke off. The tap's still, playing up now and then. But it does affect my work living on such a noisy road. It makes recording this, as I've said many a time, it makes it an absolute nightmare. There is work that I can't take on, like audiobooks, because the flat is not soundproofed. And, if you sent me your audiobook to do, I could do the work, I could do the edit, but it's not going to pass the ACX test. It's not going to pass that. So there's no point me going for that kind of work, because those audiobooks are not going to be a professional standard in terms of what the audio needs to be. The editing will be, but there we go. What can you say here? This is a straight road. There it is. I mean, what's going on with that siren? Why is that siren doing that? Okay, that's what it should be doing. What was that stuff? Was that just grandstanding just before that? Commit to the siren. You've either got the siren on or you haven't got the siren on. What was it doing there? This is another problem with this road. I've said it. I've tried to understand why do the sirens often tend to start outside this building, and I can only assume it is because there is a slight blind spot. This is on a slight curve, this building. So if you're, is that another one? A different siren. This building is on a bend. That's what I was trying to say. Whatever, let's try and move on from this. Look at that. That looks so ugly on the audio here, those sirens. I could just do a soundscape, I think, one of those arty shows where it's just police sirens. Some people release bird sounds, or just release police sirens. So I can't do audiobooks, that's what I was saying. The situation with the windows, the work on the windows, putting in these new windows, has put me at odds in a diplomatic way with the neighbours. Oh, I mean, what? Honestly, the world is. The world, well, whatever, let's just go on. Okay, I'm at odds with neighbours on this, but in a very diplomatic way, and I'm mindful and respectful that some of them have been here for 30, 40 years. Contractor this morning, the site manager, when we did our elbow greeting, he told me that everyone was being very obliging, and I don't know if that was a subtle dig at me. I don't care about that. I'm being sensible. And as I've said, the windows would benefit my work. The neighbour across the landing on the other side of the elderly neighbour, he's been away for some weeks, and I've suspected that it's because he's not been able to travel back into the country. And I have to say at this point, as the space daddy said when we spoke on the phone last week, it is incredible the amount of intelligent people, we're not just talking idiots, intelligent people who've not been able to do without a holiday for now. It just beggars belief that right now anyone could think that what they need is a holiday, that they would enjoy a holiday, face masking in warmer climes. I don't understand it. I don't understand it because the quarantining is not being enforced, and I just think it's selfish. Anyone who's traveling right now, I think that is selfish if it's for a holiday. This is not a time for a holiday. This is a time for us to try and be aware of what's going on and see if we can get through this absolute nightmare and look out for each other and be respectful of the social distancing and how our behavior might be impacting on others. And this guy, he returned on Saturday. He dropped me an email because he's got the same concerns that I have. I don't know whether that's a Mediterranean thing as well, because he's from that part of the world. And he should be quarantining, but from what I hear, because he's one of those who races down the stairs and is often in and out of the building on an evening, I doubt that he shared that info with the contractors. I could be wrong on that, but that's my general impression. And on that note, completely thrown by the sirens and the rambling and the throat issues, I'm just going to take this opportunity to introduce a short sting. Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available, episode 270. I was going to go with the lo-fi low thing, and I've just forgotten what that was. Ways to support the show, that is something that I will not forget. iTunes reviews, just 30 seconds of your time. If you've got an account with the Apple Podcasts or the Apple Store, do please rate, review, and subscribe to this show on there. It will only take 30 seconds of your time, and it does increase the show's visibility in the iTunes Store. You can follow this work on Twitter and Instagram at 1607 West Egg, 1607 West Egg, facebook.com/DRT available. Now, the normal caveat is tweaked this week because for a couple of days last week, I think Thursday and Friday, I was able to get that page finally working. I just got so fed up with it that I did loads of online searching and finally found a thread on Reddit, and I never use Reddit. And maybe I touched on this, I think, on last Thursday's show. And if you didn't hear that, basically I found a solution. If you have something like a business page, or as in my case, a podcast page rather than a personal page, there is an issue whereby you cannot go into that account on a desktop or a laptop. You can access it on your phone, as I've been able to, but for the last 6 months, I've not been able to access it on the laptop. And finally, I found that this is a known issue. I found a thread on Reddit, and there were people talking about they're not able to access business pages for clients or their own Facebook pages that they'd set up. Was there a workaround? Why is this happening? And I found a link that worked second time of asking. And I thought, oh, this is great. I've resolved this. Lasted for a couple of days. I'd switched it to, I think, Facebook Classic View. And then after a couple of days, it was just gone again. And put me in mind of that film, Awakenings, with De Niro and Williams, where De Niro plays a patient who's in a catatonic state and wakes up briefly and enjoys life briefly before returning to his catatonic state. And if you heard episode 269 last week, I told the story on that episode of November 1990 when listening to Robbie Vincent. I'm just going to carry on. You know, I'm just tripping up over words and thoughts today. I'm very tired. I told the story of Uri Geller, November 90. And I was listening to Robbie Vincent on LBC. There was Uri Geller was on there. Let's see if I probably don't even need to tell this story again because I told it last week to this tiny audience of 16. But basically, through this show, Uri Geller fixed the VHS recorder that had broken down. And Facebook, it was a bit like that, except it only lasted for 2 days. It was only working for 2 days. So in that sense, it was more like Awakenings than Uri Geller with the VHS recorder, because the VHS recorder just kept on working until around 1995. So at least the Uri Geller resolution worked for the long term. Let's get back to the things that I need to get out on this show to plug this work. There are PayPal and coffee.com links at DanielRuizTyson.com. If you'd like to make a donation to the show, then of course that would be appreciated. It all comes back into this work, and I'll WeTransfer that week's patron show to you if you're not already a patron. But most importantly, the best way, the most direct way to support this work is via the patron page, just £6 a month, and you're getting quite a bit of content at the moment every week. There's also a second tier, an introductory tier for those of you unsure about committing to supporting the show. If you're in the UK, if you're in the EU or EU, well, if you're in the UK, if you're in the EU or if you're in the US, the EU, what is wrong with me today? I am tripping over the EU. Whatever, you can now pledge in your local currency of euros, British pounds or US dollars. and that prevents you paying extra conversion fees from your bank or card when pledging in a currency that's not your own. Patreon.com/DRT available. Sign up there for a different kind of podcast, which today appears to be an even more different kind of podcast to the usual different kind of podcast. Join the 16, keeping this show alive. One thing I don't want to tempt fate, one thing that hasn't been happening this morning, which has been happening now for about 5 or 6 days, are the issues plaguing my Word, as in Word, the office document, which even though I've not done any writing at all for about 2 or 3 weeks, because things seem to be slipping away right now. The issues with the Word have meant a big back and forth with Microsoft on Twitter. And, you know, they've been helpful, but I'm just so tired of the amount of time I'm having to spend on this. And I think it's affected my mood the last few days, because I've got so much on my plate that it is essential I have a working machine. And I'm also wondering now, among the many outgoings I'm going to have to consider, it may be that I need to get a desktop. I think I've got so much work both to do and work that just exists that I have to keep backing on a hard drive. And even the hard drive, the external hard drive rather, is just running really low. You need a desktop. I really do think you need a desktop. It may be that I need to get one, because I think I'm just pushing this laptop too much, and there's all sorts of little things happening to it now. And if I can't get this work out now, if I can't rely on Word of all things, then that's a big problem. And I'm also, I suppose, feeling excited by the new show that I'm going to be doing, launching it in November. But there's a lot of admin with it, and, you know, the social media stuff that I'm trying to sort out. There are issues with the mail forwarding at the moment. The alerts are not quite working. All that admin is just taking up a lot of time. Again, it takes me further away from the writing again. And I remember, you know, being a football writer in the noughties and how much time that took, particularly when I was a magazine editor. You know, just things like that consume your life. I don't really want to go back to that. So while I'm excited, because I never wanted to do the kind of show I'm going to be doing it from November, I really never wanted to do that. But I found a novel idea for doing that kind of show. And I've already had an email back from one potential guest. Well, they have agreed to be on the show, the new show, saying it's just a wonderful idea. So I needed to hear that. But also, I'm quite daunted, I think, by the amount of work involved, particularly as, again, it is a one-man band. But anyway, I'll be plugging that in the weeks and months to come. And the new Twitter and Instagram accounts for that are Shorts Were Short. You'll find that also plugged on my at 1607 West Egg account. Thanks for your retweets on that and the follows. If I am to stand any chance of a big platform taking it on, I will need to build up those follower numbers dramatically. And after 36 hours, it won't come as a surprise for you to learn that I still don't have 36 followers on that account. And, you know, I just can't risk having another show like this one, which I'm not even sure this is a cult show. I don't know what this is. But when Shorts Were Short, that is purely my attempt at landing a commercial success. Now, I can do it well. I can work creatively within that. But that is the motivation. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. And if the show fails, I suppose I think I'll have no option but to launch a true crime show. I think that'll be the last resort. But I'll open with an episode on my old classmate whose notorious murder of his social worker in South London back in 1999. He's still in Broadmoor. And that notorious murder, one of the worst of the late 20th century in the UK, it's never been covered in a single podcast. I think that might give me an advantage, you know, but hopefully I won't have to move into true crime podcasting, because that is a very crowded market. Some grim news at the moment. Maybe this whole episode has been a bit grim. I don't mean it to be. I'm sorry about that. The neighbour, I heard all this commotion yesterday morning, up and down audio on the communal stairs, and I just thought, okay, the paramedics are back, and sure enough, they were. Something else had happened to her, and I heard subsequent to that that it appears the issue is a heart condition, and that she'd fallen a couple of times on the Friday. And, you know, I don't know what she's doing in that flat on her own. She's got the care workers, but doesn't have a living care worker, so it's the morning care worker that is basically saving her life at the moment. The paramedics came. They were there for about 90 minutes before finally taking her out, and I caught a glimpse of her, and she just looked dreadful, the poor woman. And you're wondering, well, what's the family doing here? Why is this woman going back and forth? You know how she lives now. You are now aware of the neighbors that were doing all these things for her just to keep her going, in her situation. And she's still being sent back by the hospital. This time she lasted, I think, 9 days in a flat, beating the previous best of 1 day, which she equaled on two occasions. Now she's back in hospital. So it's all of these things are just making for a really strange period in my life to be around all of these things. And I'm also thinking that, like me, she's always someone that valued shoes or wanted shoes being removed in her hallway, very insistent on that. In her case, it was more than a mat. I think she recognized the hallways in the building are tight. She would enforce the shoe removal, but you had a bit more space to remove them in. And now I'm guessing with all the paramedics, the relatives, the care workers, the neighbors, all that foot flow in the last couple of months in her flat, that shoe removal policy is just completely out of the window. And I'm seeing this, I'm thinking about this, and it gives me a glimpse of my own terrible future, perhaps, because I feel like I will know when the end is coming when I accept that I can never again expect visitors to remove their shoes. That will be the confirmation for me that the end is coming, along with no longer being able to go on the upper deck of a bus. I'll need to go and sit on the lower deck, and that'll be confirmation that I'm nearing the end. And I just hope at the very least that I can meet my end without pulling one of those camp shopping trolleys. That is something I have promised myself I will never do. Friday morning, I paid a quick visit to my aunt and uncle, had a couple of things to do for them, some repair to phone in with their housing association. I got there, and it was the first time I think I'd been waiting for a lift, and someone else came to get the lift as well at the same time. In this case, a family, and I just let them get in the lift first, waited for the next one. I think they appreciated that, and I appreciated them appreciating that. There's no call right now for different households to be getting in the same lift. And I just had a look at some paperwork for my aunt, had a look at her Nectar points, and she's always throwing letters away. As soon as I've read something, and if it's not important, or if I've explained to her what it is, that's it. The letter is just binned. She rips it up and bins it. Just so you never know when you're going to need this. Some of these letters are important. They do that sometimes with hospital letters. And I just say, well, what's wrong with having a record of this appointment or this review of your appointment? These things are useful, if not to you, to us at least. So that was it. My uncle was flicking through one of those women's magazines, the glossy magazines, and it just gave me flashbacks to the 2 years of having to buy OK magazine for the neighbor. I don't know what he was doing with that. And at one point, I was talking about something, and he broke the conversation up to show me a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo with some new expensive car. And I'm thinking, I don't want to see this. I'm about to go to Lidl. I don't need to see this. This week's Nectar Points update now, as we come to the merciful end of this week's regular show. And just before that, on my way to the shops on Friday, I had to go across the road, topped up the Oyster, and it's the first time that I've remembered in the 8 days since it happened to step away from the muck flight path after Mr. Multiple dog poop bags and his dog wrecked that flight path. Just feeling an issue with my upper left tooth there. I don't know what's happened to it, but there's something wrong with it. I've got an electric toothbrush. I need to replace it. It keeps coming loose when it's in my mouth, and it came loose last week, towards the end of last week, and I bit down on the electric toothbrush, on the brush that had come off. I bit down hard on it. I don't know if it's done something to that back tooth. It just feels a little cold. I've got some sensitive toothpaste. I'm hoping that's going to be enough. That's the last place you want to go right now. I think I can deal with it. I think I can deal with the stuff with the scaffolders and the windows and all that malarkey. A trip to the dentist now, given how much these guys charge and given that they're likely to put their prices up, I'm not sure that I can. I know that when my aunt went to her NHS dentist. I got her that appointment a few weeks ago. She said that they actually put the filling in using their finger, which I'm not sure about that. I'm not disputing what she's told me, but I'm just not sure about that as a method. Mind you, yesterday I was reading about that whole, all the drug mules, so to speak, on the county lines, the drug situation, drug dealing situation here in England, and how the police are scoring some success against some of these county lines dealers. And it was saying that both money and the drugs are transported to their locations via the rectum. And I don't know how an idea like that ever got greenlit, how it took off. Oh, it's probably been going on for thousands of years, but £1,000 worth of drugs or money wrapped and pushed up your rectum. Who comes up with that? It's like I read this piece years ago that stayed with me, Stevie Nicks, to protect her voice, Stevie Nicks at Fleetwood Mac. She would get a roadie to blow coke up her rectum because it would protect her voice. And it would protect her voice, whereas if she did it through her nose, it would damage her cords. I just don't know how you come up with an idea, because that wouldn't have been her original idea. That would have had to come from a conversation with someone. And then, if you're working, if you're a roadie with Fleetwood Mac, and one of the band stars asks you to do this, why do you do it? It's why do you do it? Unless maybe you're in a relationship with them, and you're doing the same kind of thing. I don't know. I just find that kind of stuff really weird. When I read that about Stevie Nicks a few years ago, and I was a huge Fleetwood Mac fan of their kind of middle era. Naturally, I think the Tango in the Night era, that era of Fleetwood Mac that most people, probably most Fleetwood Mac fans, maybe wouldn't like. I like the original Fleetwood Mac, the UK Fleetwood Mac before they became this very American band, but I do like Tango in the Night. But I can't really listen to that album now without visualizing some roadie standing behind a bent over Stevie Nicks with a straw in his mouth. I don't know. Sometimes, when you hear things like this, you just think, how can there be an afterlife? Why would some greater being ever want to give us the chance of eternal life? Just, it wouldn't make sense. So, a new thing I've been trying in the supermarkets, anyway, I've got to wrap this show up. New thing I've been trying is lining my baskets with newspapers. And I haven't bought the fruit and veg bag that they offer for your fruit and veg in Sainsbury's. I think you're meant to weigh everything before you take it to the self-checkout if you're buying one of those fruit and veg bags, and you've got to label it. I could be wrong, but I don't know. What am I talking about here? I haven't bought one anyway, but it just didn't sit right with me to have, oranges and baked potatoes, baking potatoes rather, in a basket that wasn't very clean. And the sheets of newspaper are currently traveling with me. I'm not going to be hand gelling in a supermarket and go into the trouble of wiping down the basket. I just want to get into the shop and get out. I've got my own gel, my own hand gel. I'm running low now and prices have almost doubled since March, but I do still gel right before I go into the shop. And if I get pulled up on not hand gelling in the shop, I'll simply reach into my back pocket and just show them my gel and say, listen, do you know who you're talking to? Because there is just not anyone in this country who has had a longer commitment to the hand gel. So I'm in the shops, I've lined my paper, and then I'm thinking, after lining the paper in the basket, when I finish, what should I do with the paper? Do I take out the paper or do I just leave it in there? If I took out the paper, it's not to bring home with me, but it's to bin, and I've just left it in there, and that bit of the anecdote has nowhere to go. So let's just move on. I am trying to be more careful in the supermarkets, and I certainly should go back to walking to the shops rather than getting on buses, because just some of the behaviour on the buses is just far too casual for my liking. But I think for me, I know I need to make a concerted effort on maintaining social distancing within the supermarkets. It's not always possible, but I don't want to be overconfident just because I've got a mask. Something I read yesterday suggested that it's the spacing, the social distancing, that is more imperative rather than the surface contact and hand washing. And I spend so much time wiping down everything that I've bought from the supermarkets in the flat, and then wiping down those worktops, because I'm really worried about the surface contact. but they're trying to reinforce the fact that the way the virus is primarily transmitted is via droplets and aerosols. And the aerosols bit, I don't quite get. What do they mean by that? Do they mean deodorizing? I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to go back to the 15th or 16th century, no deodorants? I don't know. You tell me. I might be well wrong on that. I suppose I could be, but what do they mean by aerosols? Either way, we shouldn't be overconfident in our masks, and I know that I'm not. On the points, right, last week I closed out with 198 points. It was a smaller shop this time. Semi-skimmed 155, so that's my 6 pints. I think that's got an expiry date of the 26th, I think, or the 28th. I think it's the 26th actually. So I'm currently, I've got 5 days to drink 10 pints, so that's going to have to be about 2 pints a day. I'm going to have to step up the porridge lunches this week. I bought the usual spicy, thin and crispy chicken pizza. Saturday's calzone conversion was decent, though it looks like the oven door may have broken now. That's another worry. Bought some antibacterial wipes, yogurt, wafer thin ham. Couldn't find mine in Lidl the last few weeks. I've been paying an extra 60p in Sainsbury's, and then I went to Lidl afterwards, saw that they had my cheaper ham, which I used to lay on the pizza. I'm just trying to work out when I went to Sainsbury's. That was on Friday, yes. This was before Lidl. Bought some crackers as well, and 4 single oranges that came to £1.20. Everything came to 9.85. That's 9 points, not even double figures this week. If I was still getting the Neighbours Radio Times, that would have been 12 points. The Radio Times would have given me 3 points. My new points balance is £2. Sorry, 207 points. My points are now worth £1.03. At least I've finally broken through the pound barrier. And that is the end of this week's show. Patron listeners, you get your weekly bonus edition, episode 271, on Thursday. The rest of you, if you want to join those patrons, sign up at patreon.com/DRTavailable. Thank you all for listening. And if you're not joining us on Thursday, I'm back next Monday with episode 272. Get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruse Tyson, and this start of the week, I have been available.